It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char-broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grillin' Guys.
Welcome. You're listening to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend if you're tuning in. And it's time to fire up your grill or smoker and create a little grill envy in your backyard or in neighborhood or wherever it is if you're still at camp. Our deer season's over. But, boy, last week was the Thanksgiving feast. And we haven't really talked much about that. But what'd you make for Thanksgiving, Bob?
Hey, thanks, Jop, and welcome to the show. It's the smokiest show on the airwaves, and we're glad that you take time once a week to listen to us. And if you can't get time with our schedule, sorry, I just got a text from a guest who's coming. If you don't have time to listen to us live in your market, whatever station is playing us in your market, go to thegrillinguys.com, all right? It's a great website. It's 10 years old. And it desperately needs repair, but it still works. And at the top right corner, you'll see a headset. And if you click on that, you can enroll for our podcast, and we'll send this right to your phone. I do a lot of podcasting myself, and I listen to them on the way to work and back every night. And it's just a cool way to spend some time with your buddies here at the Grillin' Guys. And if you're really lucky, you might even get a chance to hear Trevor once in a while. And if not, you can catch him on 97.9 on the weekends sometimes, because I heard his golden voice on the radio this last weekend. Great station here from Town Square. It's the home of free beer and hot wings and, of course, a bunch of really solid rock. We are on 98.7. And what's the call sign for that?
WFGR.
WFGR, and they have some great old-time
classic
DJs on here. And
some that can't remember where we work, but
Yeah. It's just a lot of 80s, 90s, and now. And I'm trying to think of the one DJ that I called by the wrong name last time. Who's one of your old-timers who's on here, Trevor?
Scott Winters.
Scott Winters, yes. Yeah, yeah. He's such a classic dude.
Yeah.
We partied with him at the first Winter Beer Fest, and that's the first time I got to know him, and he's just a prince of a guy. Yeah. Anyway, so that's where we're at. It's old-time religion here at 98.7. Sunday mornings at 7 o'clock, and of course, 8 o'clock in the morning on Saturdays around the state. Some stations play us Saturday afternoons. But get that podcast if you can't join us there, because we want to get in your head.
Right. Yeah. Obviously. That was a little bit of a sermon right there, man.
No, this
is the Grillin' Guys, right?
It is, but I think... I'm a geezer, and a lot of geezers listen to us, and I think the podcasting isn't as popular with guys that were born in the 50s and 60s and 70s as it is with the guys and gals born in the 80s, 90s, and currently. 80s, 90s, and now. Yeah. Here's the Doobie Brothers. Yeah. So, but we are happy to be keeping you company from time to time, but I'm gonna make Joppy mad right now, and I don't tell him in advance because
you can't make me mad. Wanna... We're just listening to you ramble about nothing right now. So what could be worse than that?
Well, this isn't nothing right now. I just want to say that what's going on in our country is terribly tense and disturbing, and I just want to let everybody know that this country's really cool. The fabric is strong, and the founding fathers were probably some of the wisest men that ever walked the earth, and they deliberated over what they were going to do to create this country for months and months and months. And I mean, people lost fortunes trying to start this country. I mean, George Washington was one of the wealthiest men in the country. And when he died, he had very little, but he gave it all for this beautiful thing we call America, the United States. And so that being said, there's a lot of news about the election, and there's a lot of misnomers. And I'm just going to say, just be patient and have faith. This thing that we have, we call America, has overcome much worse than this. And right now, you just have to hold the line. You just got to hold the line. And that goes back to the Romans, but it's true. Be faithful, and you're going to see how this all unfolds. And I think most of you will be very happy. And don't forget, this thing called masculinity, it's okay. This show is about masculinity. And it takes
except that, for the tofu.
It you brought that up. But I actually tried it.
Right. Yeah.
But it's under fire in this country as well. You know, everything's supposed to not be masculine, but it's okay to be masculine. And this show is all about that. Men at the Grill. And
well, we got lady listeners as well that we truly appreciate. But yeah, this is kind of guy talk.
We do.
You're right.
And we love it when women step up to the grill because maybe their husband doesn't have any skills or
right.
Maybe, you know, he doesn't think it's masculine to get at the grill, but it is. And Jop's a prime example of that. He looks pretty good in an apron. I'll just say that.
Yeah. All depends what I got on under that apron, I'm assuming. Right? How good you really want to look for that. But
talking about the turkey, did you have anything fantastic after with your leftovers?
You know what I did? Because I'll be very honest, I walked away and didn't pay attention and overcooked my turkey. I was probably 8 to 10 degrees higher. I went to about 175, 178 with it, and it was dry. And so I had all this turkey meat after I cleaned the carcass, you know what I mean? So I made turkey soup, and it turned out fabulous, and it's very, very meaty. And I made enough of it. I mixed the
no
white.
No noodles?
No. You know, we're trying to stay off the carbs, so I made it with a vegetable and rice. I didn't, use long grain rice
okay.
in it. And
I like that.
Yeah, it's actually pretty good. And
wild
I made,
rice.
You know, I made like 4 gallons of it, literally, because I had, 8 pounds of turkey left.
Holy cow.
So it's in little, single-serving containers for
and
Lisa
the rice,
and
you put the rice in all of it?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I mean, I put the broth in and cooked the rice in the broth
right.
and then put the rest of the ingredients
right.
in there and
so I took a different path. I did something similar, and I first of all, I was not a good husband on Thanksgiving. My wife told me, and I left everything up to her because she always wants me to leave everything up to her, but I was gone. I was checked out, and the poor thing tried to take this giant pterodactyl out of the oven, and she dropped it.
Ooh.
Yeah. So
burn
it was,
herself?
It was a
or?
Turkey bomb. No, fortunately, she didn't, but the bird, it died. And it did not survive, but she fortunately could scoop it up because she had it sitting on a foil tray, and unfortunately there was turkey grease all over the place. But so I didn't have much carving to do. I'll just say I just
right.
put pieces on a platter, and that's my one job on that day.
Yeah.
But I did take the carcass, and I like cleaning meat, so I took the thing and broke it all down. I threw the carcass in our biggest pot, and I
yep.
cooked it with onions and celery and a lot of water and salt and pepper and garlic for about 4 hours. And then I let it cool off. I took my strainer and pulled everything out and put it on some cookie sheets and let it cool, and then I picked through it. And I got all the little pieces of cartilage, any little bones, the little bones out of the wings and all that gross stuff, and the skin. And then I put this giant pot in my lower-level refrigerator and let it cool down. And then a couple days later, I went down there, and all that fat was on top, nice
sure.
and hard.
Yep.
I just took it all off, and I have, like, the most beautiful stock I've ever made.
Yep.
And
And it keeps.
Oh, my gosh. So what I did is I broke it up into several separate containers. I froze the stock separately, and I took one batch, and I made some enchilada soup or tortilla soup. I don't know what they call it. I saw it on Facebook. An old high school friend made it. And
turkey tortilla soup?
Yeah. Instead of chicken, it was turkey. Because I hate leftover turkey.
Yep.
Hate it.
I know. Dries out.
I know. I can have like one batch of turkey soup, and that's it.
Well, I don't know. Mine's very flavorful. But anyway, I'm going to have many batches of it, but not every day. Right? Coming up next, it is the holidays, and you might be planning for the next holiday get-together. I'm going to talk a little bit about a crown roast. You're going to like this one. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, guys. Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Teas, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey. Engineering better Michigan beer.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance, and while you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Fen Valley Vineyards. Located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fenville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fen Valley Vineyards.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat, and no tofu. With me and Job, it never gets dull. The grill's so big, it's like a ship's hull. Grillin' Guys, I tell no lies. And do some great things to chicken thighs. When we're at the grill, smoking up a rack, a little taste is just like crack. We're backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody grills a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guys rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. So check us out and have no doubt, the Grilling Guys will make the crowd shout. Stick around and put down the rake, fire up the grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows, you gotta listen to the Grilling Guys show. That's it.
Welcome back. It's the Grilling Guys, and we're going to stop BSing now and maybe get into a little bit of grilling food here.
Hold the line.
And smoking something or doing whatever. But you want to let's finish up that talk about turkey, that turkey talk, if you will, because there's a couple other things that we want to mention is that when I made that turkey rice soup, that rice is in there. I have not had great luck with freezing rice or noodles in soup.
I haven't either.
It seems like when they thaw out, the consistency is very different than it was when you first made it. So we were talking off air there about maybe just keeping, as Bob does, keep your stock separate and then just pull it out and use it in containers to make your soup with the stock that you saved rather than making all the soup and freezing
sure.
it.
Sure. And for me, I don't want to have the same thing. Like, my wife will eat leftovers. She loves it when I cook. And she'll want me to cook a bunch because she'll just eat leftovers all the time.
Right.
Or if she makes something, she'll still cook for nine, and then she'll just keep eating. I can't do it.
I can't either.
I don't want it
I
the
want
next
fresh
day.
Food every
I want,
day.
Yeah. yeah. Now, I like taking leftovers to work.
Right. But and, one meal.
Yeah.
One meal, and, not and, days in a row.
And honestly, I broke this stock up into only two batches. I took half of it and made that tortilla soup, or enchilada soup, I guess it's called. And it was really easy. You just take that stock you've got, and you put in a couple, however many you want, cans of the roasted diced tomatoes.
Yep.
Hunt's makes a wonderful blend of them. And Rotel also does. And then I took, because my friend Lori Dolman up north, I saw her picture of it on Facebook, and it's like, oh, God, it looked good. And so I tried it. Her recipe actually also called for putting in a can of enchilada sauce
okay.
and cumin. I didn't put the cumin in. I just put some enchilada sauce in, and I'm telling you, it sounded stupid. I did it anyway. Fantastic. Thank you, Lori. That was just great.
Cool.
And then I put some, I added to that recipe some pinto beans. So you've got yours in the freezer. When you pull it out, you could try just some tomatoes and some enchilada sauce and maybe a can of black beans or something to dice it up. And you're gonna love it. And then, of course, when you serve it by the bowl, you put some shredded Mexican cheese on top. And if you can get that white, real, authentic Mexican cheese. Mm-hmm. And then you put some fresh tortilla chips on top. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's good. A work of art.
Good, man, too. So speaking of works of art, Bob, you know that I enjoy, I espouse to live by the theory as you eat with your eyes first, your nose second, and your taste buds third.
You fancy.
Because I like the things to look nice on my table, and before you ever sit down to smell it's coming. And so one of those things for the holidays that I do, not every year, but for most years, is a crown roast. And this is something
I've seen pictures of
it. You can find them on the internet. I don't have any corner on a great recipe, but I want to talk a little bit about it.
When you did that, I had never seen one before.
Oh.
I'd heard of them, but I didn't really know what it was.
Right, right. So first and foremost is go to your butcher ahead of time. You aren't going to find this in the big box store. Go to your butcher because he's got to cut a whole pork loin and leave the rib bones on it, which you don't find in regular stores, hardly ever. Maybe it's just seasonal. But the other thing you need to do is ask him, tell him what you're going to do with it. I need a pork loin for a crown roast. And any good butcher like Sobey Meats or so many others where you're listening will French those bones. And what that means is they will be bare about the length of your finger. And then it'll go down and they'll still be hooked to that whole pork loin.
I bet if you're up north, you could go to R&J's Best Choice Market, and Ron would do it for you.
Just give them time, because this isn't something they're going to carry, but they certainly can get it, because it's just, if they're bringing in the whole hog, they'll just cut it that way. If they're getting parts, then they'll order it, and it'll come that way. But give them 4 or 5 days. You aren't going to just walk in and find this one generally in the meat counter. So when you get this big piece of loin there, what you want to do is the bones are going to curl up one way, right? They're rib bones. On that side, just take and put like a 1-inch slit between all those bones, right at the base of the bone, and then you're going to flip it over, and on that same line, you're going to score the backside, because what you want to be able to do is this loin is 14 bones, and it's about 18 to 24 inches long, depending on the size, and you're going to want to turn this thing around in a curl with those bones up, so the rib bones that you're seeing look like a crown. Then you're going to take your butcher's twine, and you're going to truss this thing. But before you do that, you're going to want to season it. And this is just a classic roast seasoning that you're going to put on this thing. I'm going to cover it with olive oil. I'm going to put olive oil in a bowl and put my thyme, sage, garlic in a bowl. Mix it all together. Not a lot of oil, because I want it to be pasty. Right? And I want it to stick. I don't want it to fall off, but just enough to create this herbal paste, if you will. And those are the ones I use, thyme, sage, and garlic, and about equal amounts of each. You could put rosemary in there if you like that. I'm just not a big fan.
Reminds me of a song.
Right. But then you're going to rub this thing down both sides, and then you're going to set it on edge and curl it together and truss it. Right? So now it's in a circle. And those bones are sticking up like the top of a crown, mm-hmm. thus a crown roast.
Be perfect for Christmas.
Right, exactly. That's why I'm talking about it. So you've got time to practice this.
You're so smart.
I smoke them, okay? So you want to get this thing to about 145 degrees before, and that's internal temperature of the pork.
Can I take a time out?
Sure.
So when your butcher will probably know this, but just to be safe, there must be a certain length that's like a minimum, because you have to bend that big muscle into a circle. So
that's why you score it, so it'll release a little bit. It's
so
not
is
cut.
It like about a foot long at least? About,
yeah, it's just, as I said, it's 18 to 24 inches.
Okay.
It's the full rack of ribs.
Sorry, I was texting.
Yeah,
when
I
you
understand.
Did.
You never listen to me, but
we got a special guest coming,
right.
So I'm making
well, that's
arrangements.
Good. So anyway, and then traditionally, what you do is you put stuffing in the center of this thing. And you bake it. Now, I've got a couple tips on that. First of all, make your stuffing the stuffing that you like. You've got pork chops and stuffing when you're done. Okay?
Wow.
It's beautiful.
Oh.
But whatever stuffing, I'm not going to go into
nice.
A stuffing recipe because
come on.
There's so many of them out there. And
do you put sausage in your stuffing?
I do. I do.
Too.
And but the other two items that I want to chat with you about is when your butcher cuts this, if he's doing it from a whole loin, there'll be trimmings. Keep those trimmings and put them in the bottom of the pan that you're going to roast it in because they'll make great flavor for gravy.
Nice.
Afterwards.
And pork is tough to make gravy from.
Right. But if you got those trimmings,
I mean,
it's largely fat and stuff, and it'll render down. It'll make great base for gravy.
So
put some onions in there with them, and here's my trip. A Granny Smith apple or two cut up into little wedges, and all of that will flavor those drippings down there that make just a wonderful,
oh, nice.
Wonderful
so like
gravy.
A bit of a bitter apple, like a pie apple.
Granny Smith,
yeah.
Yep, those yellow ones, right, exactly. And then the other thing is when you're smoking this thing, you could do it in the oven too. I use a digital thermometer so I don't go over temp. You don't
right.
want it overcooked.
Right.
But I cover it with tin foil. The whole thing until it hits about 130, and then take it off and let it get to the 145 with it open. If you don't, your bones get black. Okay, they'll overcook because they've got Frenched away, and I don't like it to look that way. So just
yeah.
keep it covered.
Yeah,
and then just last half hour, 45 minutes, open it up. It'll be beautiful. It'll be absolutely beautiful.
And then
beautiful.
That tin foil is good for later on. In case, like, there's aliens around.
Right, or your TV reception isn't good anymore, right? Anyway. So, there you are,
nice.
Crown roast. You can find recipes, directions online, but that's how I do it,
nice.
And it turns out wonderful every year.
Cool.
So, coming up next, Bob's going to play around with some butts, please. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? I mean the kind that makes you remember walks with your grandfather. Come on over to Schmoe's Brewing Company in Grand Rapids or Petoskey, and we have some handcrafted root beer, probably the best in the state of Michigan. That's 2600 Patterson in Grand Rapids or 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey. You know you're dying for a good root beer float.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. It is the Grilling Guys, and it's the weekend. If you're tuning in, we appreciate that. I hope you got a little bit out of that crown roast. Kind of was all over the map with that thing with Bob texting and jumping back in the middle of a conversation after I've already talked about stuff. But anyway, that's how we roll around here.
Yeah, that's and, right. Hey, you did a great job, though. As much as I could interrupt you, I did, but you still pulled through it. So
yeah, right.
Good for you.
Thanks, Dad. Yeah, thanks. I feel proud. But anyway, you want to talk about something that's probably the very first thing that anybody does when they get a smoker, right? Besides light it up, is put a pork butt on there.
Oh, I thought you were going to say get a 12-pack.
Right. Yeah, well, there's that, too. That might not be the first thing you get it, but yeah. So smoking butts, man.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's, you know, and I kind of hesitate to even put it on the show plan sometimes because I'm afraid that some of these things we talk about too much, but then I get all these pictures on our Facebook page or people messaging, they're doing their first butt, and it's like they're saying, do I do this, do I do that? And it's like there are still lots of people who haven't maybe perfected that method yet, and
right.
it's okay to try and give out a little bit of advice. And we haven't perfected our methods either. So,
right.
by the way, we're all on this trip together. It's just how far along you are.
Right.
And we learn from all of you. So if you want to ever go on to our Facebook or Twitter, I'm a grilling guy on Twitter, throw a picture on, tag us.
Right.
And we love
Give
it.
Us a tip.
Yeah.
Now, a pork butt is really not the butt. It's the front shoulder. It was called a Boston butt, which is where it was shortened to pork butt there. But they're either bone-in or boneless. You can get them either way. Personally, I don't think it matters much. I think the boneless ones, I get seasoning on the inside of the meat because I'll open it up where they remove the bone, season that, and then put it back together. When I quote it, when I
cook it like a real salesman.
Right. When I cook it, or you just season the outside if it's bone in, right?
Right.
So,
and
what do you season it with?
I say, you know, if you've got to do Fast and Furious, get a boneless, because then you can cut it into pieces and smoke smaller pieces. Here's the cool thing about doing that. You actually get bark on more surface.
Sure.
And seasoning on
so
more surface.
So explain what bark is.
It's the crusty outside from the smoker, and it's a combination of smoke and seasoning, sugar, salt, melting, and getting crispy. And it looks like tree bark when you pull it off. And actually, the smaller chunks look even better.
Right.
It's maybe not as impressive when you pull out this big butt in front of all your buddies and throw it on the counter, and they're like, oh, they're ready to tear at it. But what's better is you have a lot more of that bark in your mixture. So
and the bark is flavor.
And it is.
Yeah.
And it's easier to shred in smaller pieces as well.
Mm-hmm.
So by cutting that thing in half, sometimes you'll cut some of those longer muscles, so you don't have to do it when you shred it.
Right.
Because there are some really long veins of muscles on a butt, and you really technically would want to cut those before you try shredding it.
Right. The other thing is with seasoning a butt is picture it as a cube, right? There's two ends and four sides, roughly. They're wider than they are tall, but there's four sides and two ends. One of the sides has a fat cap on it, okay? And it's a layer of half inch, maybe a little more, a little less fat that is naturally on the front shoulder of the hog. I don't ever season that. I don't waste my seasoning on that.
You don't have to.
Because you're going to pull that off. When that thing gets cooked, it's some of it's going to render down, but not all of it. And you're going to have this layer of fat that you just want to pull off that butt.
There's a good time to have some nice silicone gloves.
Right.
Yep. And invest in a nice pair of gloves. They're about $45, but you'll have them the rest of your life. Don't get the cheap ones as advertised on TV like I bought.
Yeah.
Because they crack. So I always put that fat on the rack, so my fat is going to be down.
Right.
Because what will happen is if that piece of meat's on for 6 or 8 hours, when you go to lift it off to wrap it, if you've got the meat side down, it's going to want to stick to your grate.
Right.
So the fat gives you a natural lubricant. And I'm going to pull that thing off at about 150 degrees. After 145 degrees, you can pull it because the meat will not absorb any smoke after 145. You're actually just piling smoke on. So once whatever you're cooking is 140 to 150 degrees, you should stop the smoke side of your operation. And typically we do that with, if it's a pellet grill, it's your temperature. If it's a traditional smoker, it's the flavor wood you put on it. So I've actually put too much smoke on at the worst time of all when we did that chili cook-off a couple years back.
Oh, yeah.
And you really can over-smoke.
Well, to get bitter. You get a bitter flavor from the smoke if
you
push too much on. It gives you
indigestion.
It's, you know, smoking, smoke is like perfume, okay? A little bit is wonderful. A lot of it is overwhelming. And so I always, you know, err on the light side. Many people don't like a strong smoke flavor anyway. But the other thing with the smoker is that you talked about is that you're going to get this meat up to about 190 to 195 degrees when it's done. Okay. If you take it much above that, it's going to break down more and it's going to get real mealy. You're not going to get nice pieces of firm meat that fall apart. They just go a little too far, and if you don't take it that far, then it's really tough to pull. And so there's that magic number in there, about 190 to 195, anywhere in there, that's where you want to finish that pork butt at. But to Bob's point, after this 140, 45 degrees, wrap it up, because what you're going to do is you're going to wrap it in tin foil and put
or butcher's paper.
Right, but a couple layers on there, okay, because what you want to do is you want it to steam now. You want to keep some of that moisture in there, and it just makes it super tender.
And when you pull it off, leave it in there for at least 15 to 30 minutes because you want that thing to cool down a little bit. You might. And those juices will keep recirculating through that muscle. But I think I'm going to smoke some pork chops this weekend.
Yeah, but let me finish the butt because I want to talk about this. Because this is the cool part about pork butts. with your family and the holidays is that you can make this thing. You're going to have 8-10 hours into a butt if you're smoking it at 275 before it'll get to that 195 temperature. Well, depending if it's cold out, your smoker might not be as efficient or whatever. There's some variables there, right? But at the end of the day, you can get this pork butt done at 8 in the morning and serve it at 3 in the afternoon when your family comes over, and it'll be perfectly fine and still hot when you take it off that grill, like Bob said, to let it rest. Put it in a dry cooler. And what I mean is one of your better coolers, doesn't have to be a Yeti, but a good 5-day cooler. Put it down in there, shut the lid, and do not open it, okay? Because what it's going to do is coolers insulate heat better than they insulate cold, okay? So what you want to do is keep that thing in a dry cooler hot, and whenever you get ready to serve it, Bob and I have done tailgate parties where we get them off at 6 in the morning, and we're serving them at 4:30 in the afternoon, and when we open that thing up, they're so hot you can't touch them still. I mean, they really hold. They don't cook more because you're not putting any more heat to them, but you're keeping it in a dry, insulated environment, and they'll hold, especially if you're doing multiples.
Man, yeah, and if you've got one of those Igloo 5-hour or 5-day coolers,
yeah,
those are awesome.
Right.
I mean,
all mine are orange in the bottom from the pork juice,
yeah,
right?
And warped.
You can't get it out. Yeah.
Warped. They're so hot, right? You put 200-degree butts on it. And you heard Jop say 195 degrees. That's the magic number. You don't want to hit 200 because that thing's going to keep climbing. And when you go around 200-plus, it gets mushy. And
right,
you can still serve it. I mean, most people won't care, but pull it off at 195.
Right.
Picky.
Perfect number.
Got to be picky.
Perfect number.
Feed
yep
your friends properly.
Yeah, and here's the other thing is once it cools down, the stuff freezes very well. You know, you're going to get a pork butt is 8 to 10 pounds.
Yeah, so I was going to tell you, I'm smoking pork chops tonight because my buddy's coming out from work. His name is Keith, and he loves smoking. He's from Florida, and he loves smoking. So you might find this hard to believe, but my wife took off for a week, so I'm badging it.
I think that's how you stay married over 30 years like
it
you
is
are, man. She just leaves you.
It absolutely is.
Intermittent. So we got a guest coming in the next segment.
That's right.
You haven't told me who it is, so you got to lead it in.
Coming up next, we have the ever-famous Anthony Imperato from
Henry Arms.
Repeating Arms.
All right. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance, and while you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. And we've got a guest, Bob, that's one of my favorite guests that we have, usually once a year. This gentleman will make time for us. So tell us who we got on the live line right now.
Good morning, Anthony. This is Bob. It's great to have you here. Anthony Imperato from Henry Repeating Arms. How are you, sir?
How are you, my friends? Good morning.
Yeah, good to hear your voice. I saw one of your commercials, and I thought, man, I got to text Anthony and see if he can take 10 minutes out and talk about the same thing you had on your commercial. So for all the people in Michigan here listening, we've got about maybe 15 stations here, people tuned in, and a lot of hunters and a lot of Second Amendment freaks like me and Jop, people who love guns. And yours is an American-made company, a success story, one of the oldest names in the firearms business. Tell us why somebody might want to have one of those under a Christmas tree this year.
Well, you know, Henry, made in America or not made at all, is our motto, as you know, and it's quite difficult to find a Christmas gift that is made in America these days. So, of course, we have our own selfish interests here, but we're going to promote made in America. And this is giving a Henry for Christmas. It's a family heirloom. And it's not a gift that's just going to go in a drawer and be forgotten about. It's the gift that keeps on giving, and it's something that you'll remember 20 years later that Grandpa got his granddaughter a Henry, or the wife gave the husband a Henry. So we have so many great stories over these years of Henrys being gifted at Christmas time. I love it because it really strikes in an emotional chord with the family, and for me, it doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah, it doesn't. It really doesn't, because they're one of a kind. Now, for those of our listeners that aren't maybe completely familiar with your entire line of products, Henry brings an image to my mind of a lever action repeating rifle. But there's much more than that, isn't there?
Yes, we have shotguns now, and we have over 200 SKUs. You know, for the holidays, if we want to categorize it, we've got, in fact, folks can go to henryusa.com, and we've got a Christmas gift guide. And they could also order that Christmas gift guide, which comes with two free decals. They just go to henryusa.com. But there's something for the youngsters, for the beginners, like our Henry Mini Bolt or the Muddy Girl, for the little bit more advanced youth, the Henry Lover Action Youth or the Golden Boy Youth. We have something for the cowboy action shooter, for the varmint hunter, for the medium game hunter. We've got the Henry Long Ranger for that big game hunter. And we've got shotguns. So there's a variety of things. And there's also a section on our tribute models. This is also an area where there are quite a few that are used for gifts. Our law enforcement edition, our firefighter, our EMS edition, military service, American farmer, etc. So there's a whole bunch of, there's about 20 constituencies there that we celebrate in our Henry tribute editions. There's something there for the family, one way or the other, in our line. And if you're going to spend your hard-earned money on a Henry, there's a lifetime guarantee, and you've got my personal guarantee for 100% satisfaction.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, and I want to reiterate what Anthony just said. The quality of these things, Jop and I each have one, and the quality of them is just, I don't know, I get thrilled by Made in America anything, but when the quality is really that good and it's Made in America,
right?
It's like, man, it just makes you so proud. And if you're going to give a gift, and you have somebody in your family that wants a defensive weapon or wants to hunt or just wants, like you said, heirloom, my goodness, I have my grandfather's 1884 .33 Winchester. And that's heirloom in our family. And I just recently was contacted by a distant cousin who sent me a picture of something my grandfather hammered out and gave to his grandmother, my dad's sister. And it was an old sickle, but he forged it. And these were people at the turn of the century that could just make anything. And that .33 Winchester, that provided food for them when they came to this country.
Sure.
Because they moved to the UP,
sure,
and they ate venison.
Right. The Henry that I have, Anthony, is a lever action .30-30, but it's got, I think, is it a hexagon or an octagon barrel on it? And it's got a walnut stock and receiver.
Octagon, yes. Yeah, we've got a variety of finishes now. Of course, we're known for using genuine American walnut and a very solid wood to metal fit, octagon barrel or round barrel. But we've got steel, aircraft aluminum, all-weather finish, silver finish, hardened brass finish, color case hardened finish. there's a flavor for you there that you're going to like. You know, there are guys that like, you know, the old-time color case, 1860s, 1880s look. Or we have the modern all-weather finish with the black wood stocks. We also have synthetic stocks now on our X models and what we call our side gate model. So there's the variety, and we take everything from 22 long rifle on up to 6.5 Creedmoor, and we've got a whole bunch of new stuff coming out in the next 3 to 5 years. A lot of exciting things on the drawing board. You know, Michigan has always been very good to us. I've been up in the UP with the folks at Whitetails Unlimited, or we did the 100th anniversary of the Michigan State Police gun going nice. Back just a few years ago.
Wow.
And, I've traveled through the state and always met lovely people there. So, and in fact, if anybody out there wants to email me, they can. It's anthony@henryusa.com. Don't be shy.
Right.
Just drop me a line.
Right. You're emailing the president and owner of the company, which is nobody lets you do that. And right. that's the real deal, guys, is you can send him a note and he will respond, because we've had many of our listeners do it.
So how does somebody get their hands on one of these guns? How do they buy them?
Well, we're very close to Christmas, so they've, normally I like to tell them to start by ordering the catalog and the Christmas guide, which they still can do at henryusa.com. But we also have a dealer locator, and if they go onto our website, they can see everything that we make, and they could find a local dealer in our area. You know, we have everybody from the big box stores to great independent dealers, and I don't want to slight anybody or forget, but Jay's in Clare, Michigan, and in Gaylord, and we, a good solid family-owned businesses also, besides the big guys that carry our stuff, Bass Pro, Cabela's, and a whole bunch of other sporting goods retailers. So
I don't think there's a hunter in Michigan that doesn't go to Jay's. They're just a phenomenal business.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lovely, lovely guy, the owner, JJ. But there's a whole bunch of great dealers on our website. They could easily find somebody that's close to them. Of course, there is a frenzy in the gun business, at this time, and then you compound that with Christmas. So I would suggest visiting the gun shop as opposed to calling, because these guys can't really even handle the phone calls at this point. But, we're shipping a lot of Henrys, and we'd like to see them under the tree, whether it's for the youngsters, for a deserving military service or law enforcement, or the guy that's the hunter or the outdoorsman or the plinker, etc.
We're on a hard break. Anthony Imperato from Henry Repeating Arms. I can't thank you enough for taking time with us. And hold the line. We'll talk to you soon, brother.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, Anthony, great guy. He's got a legendary company, always been in America and always will be. That's really cool. But coming up next, we're going to bring this train to the station. Bob's going to get out a trigger. We'll stick with you. Be back.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of, to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You've got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Today's man law. Always look at your buddy's girlfriend or wife as a sister. She can be a good-looking sister, but still a sister.
That's how you're going to keep your buddies your buddies.
Yeah.
Right? Easy enough.
Yeah.
Word up on that. So, what's next, Bubby?
Well, I was kind of thinking about talking some pork belly. But
that's a hard thing to do, pork belly. I've tried to figure that out, and I've not had success with it. I can't ever get it to dry out like I think it should, and the fat never solidifies for me. And I don't know what I'm doing wrong with it, but I've always said, you know, I'm going to smoke my own bacon, and I want to give this a try. And I buy a pork belly, and I smoke the living heck out of it, and it never turns out. You got any tips on that? Because I've ruined two or three.
How'd you brine them?
What?
How did you brine them?
Brine them? What do you mean brine them? Yeah, see? I didn't. That's the problem.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Why do you have to brine a pork belly?
Because you're trying to make bacon, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So where I'm going is I've made that mistake.
Oh.
And you can too, but tell them how to do this
Yeah,
right.
You got
to
brine them. And,
is that a sugar salt brine, just like you,
if you
normally
have,
do?
It is. You can do it as simple as you want. And largely, the brine helps cure it because traditionally, bacon was brined and smoked and hung in a shed.
Right.
Just like prosciutto or hams or, you know, ducks.
Right.
And geese. They did the same thing with, I've talked to chefs who say the old school Europeans would take a duck and they would nail it to the wall of a shed after it was dead. By the neck, and they just keep pulling on it every few days. And when the thing would separate from the head, that's when it was ready to cook, and that's when they gutted it.
Ooh,
yeah,
yeah. So let's talk about pork belly. I want to talk about rotting duck on my shed wall.
The old school Europeans. I mean, that's what they did.
Right. So you're going to brine this in a sugar, salt, water mixture.
Right. And
you could put some aromatics in it or some maple syrup or something, or do you put that on after?
Sugar and salt.
Right.
That's all you need.
And your brine.
Yeah. It's bacon.
Right.
Don't mess with it.
Well, you see peppered bacon and you
whatever.
See other things.
Yeah. Don't ever maple bacon me.
Yeah. All right. All right.
Maple sauce. Come on. It's bacon.
Right. Don't ruin it.
Yeah. Even dog knows. So you want to brine it for at least 24 hours. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take my Jacquard while it's in the brine and several times skin side down. I'm going to hit that fat layer with my Jacquard and I'm going to pound that brine into it. Because, back in the 70s when I moved to Grand Rapids, I worked at Vandenbrink Meats.
Yeah, you stole hams. We all knew that.
No, we just dropped them on purpose at work so we could eat
fumbly.
Them.
Fumbly fingered.
Every day one broke.
Right.
But I used to push these racks of pork bellies into the smoker, and 21 hours later, I'd bring them out. And if you've never had fresh bacon right out of the smoker, I hope you do before you go to heaven.
Yeah.
Because there ain't going to be bacon up there.
Okay. Not that good? That's that's heaven on earth, that kind of bacon?
Vandenbrink's was a phenomenal pork producer, and we made the Vandenbrink loaf, which is basically Spam,
right.
But it was ground up picnic with a special seasoning. Well, a picnic is the shoulder, the lower piece of
the front shoulder
of the shoulder, but we would smoke those and then grind them up and make a ham loaf, and you know that's what Spam is.
Right,
it's really good.
Yeah. Special hand.
Next week, Jop, what are we going to do?
Well, I think we're going to, you know, hit the holiday gifts. It'll give you a couple weeks before the holiday to find that special gift for the griller. So stay tuned with us for next week, and we will bring you some great holiday ideas for the griller. We appreciate you tuning in. and we'll talk with you next week.
See you.